Hey, I'm Jonathan Miller, and this is part A of the October 24th, 2009 edition of the Housing Helix podcast. I'm a real estate appraiser, analyst, and blogger based in New York who is interested in pretty much anything related to housing with an analytical bent. In this podcast, to provide a brief recap of the third quarter 2009 Brooklyn and Queens market overviews that my appraisal firm, Miller Samuel, prepares for real estate firm Prudential Douglas Elliman. We have this podcast bookmarked with Brooklyn first, followed by Queens. If you're only interested in Queens, you can skip over and vice versa. On a side note, I'm a bit tardy in releasing this podcast. These reports came out a little over a week ago. I got tied up doing that annoying thing we all call making a living. And our firm has been unusually busy for the past month, and this has been reflected in my limited podcast and blogging efforts. Nevertheless, I hope you enjoy it. Well, the third quarter 2009 Brooklyn market overview saw a somewhat change in direction of the Brooklyn housing market. We have, up until this point, we have had seven consecutive quarters where the median sale price showed a decline. This was the first time and I understand issues with seasonality, but I'll get to that in a second. This is the first time in almost 2 years that we've had an uptick in median sale price and average sale price for that matter. Really, the overriding factor or the characteristic of the housing market in Brooklyn in the third quarter was a significant surge in sales activity. You saw the number of sales jump 29.3% to 1,847 units. And this is Brooklyn-wide from 1,428 in the second quarter, which would be traditionally the spring market. But you're still about 20% below the pace of activity that you saw a year ago in the third quarter of 2008, which was really before this whole thing, this whole credit crunch really unwound. You saw 2,298 units. So what that's had the effect of doing is reducing inventory. Inventory borough-wide is down 21.2% from the same period last year, third quarter 2008 versus third quarter 2009. And inventory actually dropped 11.5% just during the summer. So you have sort of two characteristics with inventory. The first is that the reason why inventory fell in the first half of the year, when you're looking back over the year, was you had a tremendous fallout where buyers simply didn't bring their property to list to the market because they could see that the market was very weak and they opted to perhaps sell at a later date. And this is one form of shadow inventory and was quite significant. Plus, you had people that were unable to sell in 2008 when things were better, simply removed when their properties from the market. However, in the last quarter, which is where half of the inventory erosion occurred, you had an 11.5% drop in inventory, and that was simply, I think, primarily a result of the sharp uptick in sales activity. And what that had the effect of doing was, I think that's why you saw prices pop up a little bit. Simply, we had this release of pent-up demand. We had below-trend sales activity for the first 6 months of 2009 and obviously at the end of the last quarter of 2008, given the financial meltdown and the frozen nature of the market. And as a result, there were a lot of buyers on the fence that were simply, and this was the common refrain across the market, across all markets in the region, that buyers were unable to make a purchase decision. They were simply frozen. They were waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I think we just had to have more time pass before people felt more confident. But also, too, I think, and this is something I've said in prior podcasts, is that the Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped 24% from the beginning of the second quarter, which would be the spring market, to the end of the third quarter, which is what this market report covers. And simply, you know, people's 401k started showing some positive numbers instead of negative numbers. And there was a general, you know, easing of concern. Not that confidence is high, but certainly there is more confidence now than there was 6 months ago. And that's, you had this release, which occurred in a very short period of time, meaning the summer, where you say you had all this activity. I don't think this means a bottom per se of the housing market in Brooklyn, but I think what it means is that we're not in free fall, that consumers feel much more confident about, you know, that we've seen the worst of it. And I suspect with, you know, issues with shadow inventory, unsold new development, and, you know, still a very tight credit condition, and the fact that unemployment in the city is still it's still rising, and Wall Street is still not hiring. Wall Street employment is actually falling. That we still have a little ways to go, but this is good news. And I think people are, you know, jumped in and we're taking advantage of, you know, a significant change in affordability, credit issues aside, the fact that housing prices had dropped, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 25%. What's interesting about Brooklyn is that when you look at sort of where the market peaked and, you know, where we started to see a decline, the housing market based on median sale price actually peaked in mid-2006 and then simply moved sideways through about mid-2007. And then we started to have this, as I said earlier, this seven-quarter consecutive quarter-over-quarter drop, bottoming out in the second quarter of 2009, last quarter. And then we're seeing, we saw an uptick in third quarter 2009. I don't think that's a sign of a bottom, but we certainly are a lot closer to it than we were having, you know, if we had this discussion, or we did have this discussion 3 to 6 months ago. And that's the recap on Brooklyn. The Queens market in the third quarter of 2009 showed a lot of what we saw in both Brooklyn and Manhattan. This pattern of a surge in activity, we saw a 31% increase between the spring, the second quarter, and the summer, the third quarter. 31% increase in the number of sales to 2,789 units, and this is borough-wide, and up from 2,129 in the prior quarter, which was very low. What's interesting is even with that 31% surge, the level of sales activity in Queens is still 13.9% below the same period last year. So we're seeing a significant improvement in activity, but still well below the same period last year. The other component of this is, you know, its influence on both inventory and prices. Listing inventory, again, followed the trends that we've seen in the other boroughs. Listing inventory was 9,797 units, down 13.9% from 11,377 units in the same period last year. And that decline in inventory was, at least in the first half of the year, was simply due to people removing their listings from the market as the market was falling fairly precipitously, and opting to perhaps relist when the market improved, to this phenomenon over the summer where we had this release of pent-up demand, where we had below-trend activity in the first half of the year, and inventory levels over the summer fell about 3%. It didn't have the same impact on near-term price trends as we saw in Brooklyn and Manhattan. The median sale price was unchanged over the summer, $362,000, which was also down 9.5% from the same period last year. Average sale price followed a similar trend, bumping up 1.7% over the summer, but still 7.6% below the same period last year. So, basically, in a nutshell, you saw prices drop fairly sharply from, or not sharply, but Well, sort of to recap that, we had basically prices move sideways over the summer, a little uptick in average sale price, but essentially moved sideways over the summer, but remaining below the same period last year. And that dovetails in logically with what I described inventory and sales, what sales were doing. One of the, when you look across property types in Queens and we track condo, co-op, and 1 to 3 families, for the last year or so, we've seen better performance in the co-op market. As I've said before, the co-op market did not see the same sort of surge in prices during the credit boom of the last 4 or 5 years, mainly because co-ops did a better job at vetting the financials of buyers, qualifying buyers, than banks were actually doing. So they didn't have quite as far to fall. You did see the median sale price over the summer for co-ops slip 3.4%. You saw condos slip, or not slip, but fall 8.2%. I think the condo shift or decline was heavily weighted by a shift towards large, smaller properties that pulled down the price indicators. Average price per square foot and median are all influenced by, to varying degrees, by the shift in the mix. And we clearly had a lot of first-time buyers in this market that were coming in, and they tend to buy, entry-level type properties, which tend to be at the lower end of the price spectrum. What was somewhat surprising was the 1 to 3 market in Queens. While still below the same period last year, and all property types were roughly between 9-11% below the same period last year, we saw an uptick in prices for 1 to 3s, and I think perhaps there's a timing difference because 1 to 3s have been falling while co-ops have been fairly steady. So, I mean, the bottom line is that prices over the summer either slipped a little bit or moved sideways, maybe a little bump up, but not a whole lot of movement. But all property types still remain less than what properties are selling for in the same period last year. And that's a recap on the Queens market. Well, that's it for this edition. You can download the market reports at www.millersamuel.com/reports. Or click on the links provided at thehousinghelix.com. As always, you can email comments and suggestions to me at jmiller@millersamuel.com. In the next edition, I'll be recapping two more just released market reports. But until then, I'm Jonathan Miller, and thanks for listening to the Housing Helix Podcast.